The food security in South Sudan, according to the latest results, is deteriorating for a number of drivers. Between September and November 2024, so this year, an estimated 6.3 million people are classified in what we call the IPC phase 3 or above. So these are the crisis levels of acute food insecurity, of acute hunger, meaning those populations that have significant gaps in food consumption, food access in order to be able to lead a healthy life. Of this, about 1.7 million people are facing phase 4 levels, and a further 41,000 are facing phase 5 levels of acute food insecurity, which means that they are effectively facing starvation. That includes about 10,000 people in Malakal, in Upper Nile State, and about 30,000 Sudanese returnees who have fled Sudan because of the conflict. So if you compare that to the same period last year, that's about 500,000 people increase in phase 3 and above. And what's also concerning is that then in the projection period towards the lean season, so the season before the harvest into next year, April to July 2025, we expect a further worsening of the situation, and we will have about 7.69 million people in phase 3 or above, which is about 57% of the population analyzed. What is also important to mention is that the malnutrition situation is also very concerning and deteriorating, and we have about 2.1 million children between 6 and 59 months suffering or expected to suffer elevated levels of acute malnutrition, including over 60,000 cases of severe acute malnutrition. Most of the cases of acute malnutrition are concentrated in about 5 states, so Jonglei, Northern Bahr-el-Ghazal, Upper Nile, Unity, and Warab. So we can see that overall the food security situation is fairly concerning looking into next year.
All right, thank you for that. And maybe just to understand, what is driving these levels of acute food insecurity in the country?
Of course, we have the climate shocks that everybody in South Sudan listening will be very familiar with, and in particular flooding, which has been quite extensive this year, and which, of course, impacts livelihoods, impacts people's access to humanitarian assistance. But also importantly, really devastates, has a huge impact on food production, both in terms of crops and in terms of livestock mortality. So that then reduces the availability of food that households have, but also their ability to sell this food on the markets. And so their incomes are very impacted as well. What is important to highlight here, that flooding is a regular phenomenon in South Sudan, but the flooding this year was 10% higher than in 2023. And this is a trend that we have been seeing over the past years, which is very likely attributable to climate change. So even the shocks that are part of the natural landscape of a country are now becoming of a scale that is unprecedented and we haven't seen before. And so this is really important to recognize that the flooding, but also some of the dry spells that have been affecting the country elsewhere, are going to be of a different scale also going forward. As you know, South Sudan regularly features in some of the risk classifications in terms of one of the most vulnerable countries to climate change impact. There is also the issue of the macroeconomic crisis currently affecting the country that is generating a currency depreciation and high inflation, driving up food prices. And obviously that makes it very hard for families to afford basic needs and access the food that is needed to feed the households, which then translates obviously into the food insecurity numbers that we see. Related to this is also the agricultural production, because while it has been steadily improving in the country, also with the help of actors such as FAO working closely with the government on significantly increasing agricultural production, still, in many areas of the country, we need a lot more sustained investments to make sure that the communities are fully taking advantage of the resources that they have and are increasing local production and decreasing dependence then on external assistance, which is what, in fact, FAO is supporting the communities with. And lastly, of course, the peace agreement in South Sudan has been fundamental in really helping with the conflict dynamics, especially at local level. And we have seen improved access over time, which has helped with humanitarian assistance and with agricultural assistance of the type we provide, yet localized conflict still persists in part of the country and does hinder access and does disrupt people's livelihoods on a daily basis. And this is something that we need to also take into account, and which is affecting food insecurity. It is also driving displacement. As we know, displaced populations are highly vulnerable to food insecurity.
Given the factors that you've already mentioned, the driving factors, what is FAO doing about it?
Really, investing in emergency agriculture is a fundamental way to address this worsening acute food insecurity that we see. Input seeds, tools with which the populations can resume food production, but also things like fishing inputs so that flood-affected communities, which have also been displaced, have easily the means to obtain food that's readily available in the rivers. In fact, overall, the needs under the humanitarian response plan for the FAO South Sudan emergency operations is about $60 million to support around 4 million people. Let's say that in addition to this information, which consists of sort of a package of interventions, even an investment of $10 million for emergency seed distribution could help produce between 150 and 200 millions of dollars of food production through this investment. Because investing in agriculture, also in humanitarian crisis, is not only a way to address immediate hunger, but it's also a way to give people the means to start generating production to help the local economy and to help put people on the path out of acute food insecurity and onto a path of development. We are doing a lot to build the resilience of vulnerable households to future shocks. So really looking at agriculture as an entry point to development, to what I was saying just now, putting these households on the path or out of acute hunger, giving them the means to produce their own food so that they don't depend on assistance anymore in the future. So we have a large resilience building program across the whole country where we help farmers diversify and increase production. We link farmers to markets, we develop value chains, we build key infrastructure. And so, you know, through these efforts and also supporting the government in these efforts, we've hit a really important benchmark in South Sudan in general, which as a country has achieved 1 million metric tons of cereal production this year for the first time in over the past decade. And so it's a really big moment. And FAO itself now purchases over 50% of our seeds locally, in fact, of the local markets, which wasn't the case before, even some years ago. So this gives us an idea that agriculture in South Sudan is really the entry point for development, for boosting, for addressing food insecurity. And we have a number of entry points that we can invest in to help with that and to put these communities in the path of recovery. But then also investing in things like irrigation systems, surface water harvesting where there is little water or where there is no clean water. In fact, during our visit, we visited a really great multi-purpose water infrastructure project in Liria, which brought clean water to the community, and that addressed so many issues in that community in terms of sustaining crop production, in terms of providing water to animals, but also separately providing clean water to the community, which really changed so much the situation within the community in terms of diseases, also in terms of how well the children were doing, because as we know, malnutrition and the ability of children to absorb nutrients is very much linked also to health and to water and sanitation and to clean water. But also then investing in community-based infrastructure such as flood defenses, early warning system, react to floods in an earlier way. This is a big part of South Sudan's work at the moment, working with the government and other partners to invest in better early warning ahead of floods, ahead of drought, so that we can put in place actions ahead of time, help people evacuate their animals, help them better absorb these shocks and not be, again, have their livelihoods entirely disrupted and have them, again, experience acute hunger, but prevent that from happening beforehand.
Thank you so much, Dunya, for joining Radio Miraya.